There are a lot of gospel scenes that I wish that we could get some of the inflection of the lines of scripture, you know, and this is one of those scenes. Like when you try to envision what was going on in the storm at sea and Jesus asleep on the cushion, and like this line from the apostles, it's a very important line, but teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Like, just imagine the inflection of the apostles in that moment. Like, they're at the height of panic. The boat is taking on water. The storms are crashing. The boat's up and down. All this kind of stuff. And there's like a fever pitch. Lord, do you not care? Do you not see what's going on? Like, you can hear. It's kind of lost a little bit in our English translation. It's lost a little bit. And just because it's written word instead of spoken or the vision of or what actually happened, but you can just engage in a little bit of like their sense of like desperation. Now, when it comes to something like this, I think there's two major points I would like to make in today's gospel. And the first is this line, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? I mean, that's a very honest approach to Jesus. And what I have found is very often we Catholics, if we bring something to prayer, if we're going through a difficult time, where it's trouble, difficulty, we're at the brink of whatever the thing is, you name the life situation, when things get tough, when the waves are crashing around us, whatever that might happen to be in your life, what I've found is like, and I love asking people this directly, like, have you prayed about that? And they always kind of look at me like a deer in the headlights of like, no. Like, the obvious thing, the thing that's right directly in front of us, sometimes we just forget. We don't even think about it. It's not that we're necessarily opposed to praying about it, but it just doesn't even dawn on us because we're so lost in the mix of doggy paddling and trying to keep our head above water. And then it's like, oh, yeah, I guess I could pray about that. But what I found is even for people who do end up praying about whatever their situation is, a lot of times we try to polish our prayer. And it looks something like this. Dear Lord, please, if you don't mind, it'd be so great if maybe you could do something. No. How did the apostles pray to Jesus? Teacher, don't you care? Why are you sleeping? Don't you see the situation that's going on? There's a desperation in their prayer. That, I think, is actually a model for us in our prayer. Maybe some of you have been there before when you're at the bottom of the barrel and it's like there's no other option and you're like, I can't, like, I have to pray from my heart because I have no other option left. I think it's okay to bring what is going on in our hearts to the Lord in prayer, to actually speak that to him in prayer. He's a big boy. I promise he can take it. And it's far better to bring that panic, to bring the emotion, to bring sometimes even anger or pain. Lord, why did you take this person from me? To actually bring that directly to the Lord as it is, rather than trying to fix it up and airbrush it and make a prayer that's actually not really coming from the heart. Lord, don't you care that we are perishing? Do you not see? Don't you care? I think we could do well to begin being honest in how we approach the Lord in our prayer. The other piece I would say is this. The focus on the storm. Like, and the same thing kind of happens. There's a handful of different situations where there's storms on the Sea of Galilee. It's a pretty common effect, just the way that the Sea of Galilee is actually very low, and there's the hills from the ocean, the Mediterranean, kind of the wind goes up and creates pretty sudden storms on the Sea of Galilee relatively commonly. And this happens throughout the Gospels, but you know, when Peter is sinking, I'm walking on the waves and he's sinking and he turns his sight to look at the crashing of the waves and turns his vision off of Jesus. It's very common we look to the storm. And there's a very concrete example of that happened in my life early on in seminary. This is my first semester of seminary, and I was very overwhelmed. You know, I was moved to a different state. Everything in seminary is unfamiliar. The studies are very difficult. All these kind of things are stacking up, and I just kept focusing on, like, I'm not smart enough to be here. All these other guys seem smarter than me. I'm not holy enough. All these other guys seem to pray better than me. Just, I'm not qualified. Like, Lord, can't you find somebody else? Didn't you make some sort of mistake? And my prayer over and over and over again would be, I would go to prayer and I would just list all of these things of why I shouldn't be there, why I was not qualified. And the Lord spoke to me. It was one of the very first times he spoke to me clearly and directly. And it's happened a lot since. And usually the Lord is very tender, very soft and gentle when he handles me. But in this time, he was very firm. Not mean or angry, but very clear and direct. And like, you need to understand this. In the midst of like offering him all these excuses, the Lord stopped me and he said, Curtis, it is an act of pride to place more faith in your weakness than in my power. Poof. Ugh. It is an act of pride to place more faith in your weakness than in my power. And that is exactly what I was doing. And that's exactly what most of us do very often. And it's so easy to do because we are intimately familiar with our weakness. We know our failures. We know how we mess up. We know that we're not perfect. We know that we know our limitations. And the devil loves to throw those back into our face. And they're so close to us. It's like right in front of our face. And so if all we look around and everywhere we look, we see failure. We see our brokenness everywhere. And that failure can obscure Mount Everest in the background. Not that it's bigger than Mount Everest, but because of the perspective, we can block that. So when we focus on that storm and we focus on our own weaknesses, we can block out God's power, even though it's infinitely greater. And so sometimes it's helpful to just stop people in the moment and be like, okay, time out, hold on. You're telling me that you believe God created the sun and the moon and the stars, that the Lord holds the cosmos, the entire universe, in the palm of his hands, like this expanse of light years, billions of light years, trillions of light years, stars, all of this he holds in the palm of his hand, and you're trying to convince me that the God who you claim can do all of that, he can't take care of you? Really? Well, when you put it into that perspective, it logically doesn't make sense. But when you're constantly just face-to-face with whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty is, and they're big things, not that they're small, the loss of a loved one or when you lose a job or just the daily stuff of life, difficulties in marriage, difficulties with your kids who aren't doing what they should be doing, those things are hard. But they're not Mount Everest. And it's an act of pride to believe that your failure and your weakness is greater than God's power. I think it's helpful to be reminded of that. He is God and we are not. And so, I guess the two things, keep things in perspective. His power is greater than our weakness, I promise you. And then, even in your weakness, even in your difficulty, I think it's time that we start praying as if we mean it. To pray what's in our hearts and not some polished up, cleaned up version that doesn't actually, it's somebody else's words. I think if we do those two things, I think we'll see that Christ is in the boat with us. He's not somewhere off in the distance. He is already with us.